everybody, and welcome to a special episode of the Volunteer Spotlight. I'm your host, Evan Starnes, and I hope you guys enjoyed this month's episode with Mary Carley, and I hope you guys are really enjoying the last of the summer. I know I said that in last episode, but hey, that was only a couple days ago, so I mean, stuff still hasn't changed. But with that being said, our volunteer of the month last month was Sophia Niemeyer, and she was just busy. So we had to reschedule, but I wanted to have her on as she has she's been with us for a little over 10 years and has just a lot of really cool she's just doing a lot of really cool stuff in her community, in my opinion. So with that being said, we're just going to kind of jump right in this time. This might be a bit of a shorter episode than your typical Volunteer Spotlight episode. So yeah, we'll just jump right in. But yeah, Sophia, welcome to the Volunteer Spotlight. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely. It's an honor to be here with you.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and this is your first time being on a podcast too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I'm a little nervous, but this is exciting too.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah, you know, it's a little different than reading the Pikes Peak Courier, I suppose.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I always like to jump into these interviews with a couple of fun little getting to know you questions. So with that being said, what, in your opinion, is your absolute favorite form of audio content to listen to? Music, audiobooks, podcasts, or something I didn't think of?
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a tough choice because I thoroughly enjoy podcasts, music, and audiobooks. And
You have a favorite podcast?
Well, my new favorite is Aftersight, yours.
Really?
I've been listening to that recently, and it's really fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, have you liked the Penn and Moses duo?
Oh, my goodness. I have to listen to – is that the most recent one maybe?
Actually, no. They've been so The Blind Chick is what was the Aftersight podcast.
Okay. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. I listened to that. And I enjoyed that very much.
That's
They're
awesome.
Kind of fun. A nice duo, sure.
They're a lot of fun. I'll be honest. Like I, it's been a minute since I've listened to our own podcast too. So I'm completely rusty. But I do enjoy also just listening to Penn and Moses. I think they're just a lot of fun. So
yeah, they sure are.
That's awesome.
Have you ever listened to E-Town?
I've heard of E-Town actually.
They have a fun podcast.
Yeah, what's it about?
They feature artists, musical artists, and typically they take two different artists who play completely different types of music, and they have them perform separately and then together. And they also highlight a community nonprofit, which is pretty sweet, somewhere in the United States, and they're broadcast throughout the whole United States. And
that's awesome.
The music is incredible.
Oh my goodness. That is awesome. I'm going to check them out because, personally love music, and I always say eat, sleep, and breathe music, but, we're skirting around this. And just because I am who I am, I have to ask, what kind of music do you like to listen to?
Oh gosh. Well, I like it all, really. I love the old music, Ella Fitzgerald, Louis Armstrong, but I also love a lot of the new music. I like a variety.
Yeah, it's more of a question of what you don't like, I suppose.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Probably something really loud, although my husband usually puts that on when we're doing dishes.
Oh, okay.
Keep us motivated.
It does. It works, right? Getting yourself music, especially when you're cleaning or doing something like strenuous. Like if you can get like a good something with a good backbeat, it gets you kind of in the groove, really.
Absolutely. Like, yes. So true.
I'd take screamo. I guess screamo probably wouldn't be something you'd listen to on a given day.
Well, I'll have to put it on tonight when we're doing our dishes.
Oh boy, that'll be fun.
Death metal.
Doing dishes to metal. I feel like that would just that would make me more angry at my dishes, honestly, but yeah.
Well, maybe good working out music if you're lifting weights or something.
Yeah, like thumpy EDM
right,
kind of stuff.
Right.
Absolutely. And last up, as far as the fun questions, being that, you know, it's about to we're slipping into fall, you know, summer's kind of drawing to a close. What's your favorite outdoors activity to do, you know, around this time, around, you know, August, September?
Oh, I love August and September. I truly cherish getting outside every day, even in the rain or the snow. But the activity that I enjoy most of all is hiking, because I can listen to the nature and breathe in the fresh air. And it's especially nice to hike with our dog or a friend.
Dude, hiking with a dog is like such a difference. It's a dog can make the perfect hiking buddy.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're just so much fun, and they enjoy every minute of it. And I don't know if you've ever hiked at Chautauqua, but it's
beautiful.
Beautiful there, and they have music.
Yeah. They had like an orchestra when I was there last year. It was beautiful. They had a whole thing in it, like this beautiful little pavilion kind of area.
Yes.
Yeah, I love Chautauqua.
It's pretty sweet to be hiking and listen to the music when they're practicing for a concert. So
I love listening to people practice.
Oh, yes. It's pretty sweet.
It is, especially if it's like something like jazz or classical, like something with big band, lots of instruments. You know, there's just so much coordination that goes into that.
Yes.
Well, very cool. In fact, I should just mention this, just to mention it, but Chautauqua was actually where we had our audio trekkers hike last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think some of our older folks were a little like it. We might have gotten them a bit too good, because some of them were like, we had two different trails that we did, and
okay,
you know, people were like, oh, why? I wanted to be with my comrades, you know, like.
So sure.
We actually kind of switched it around to Walker Ranch this year, and that vastly different, but doesn't change the fact that Chautauqua was gorgeous, quiet, and therapeutic, and all sorts of things. Well, I'd like to let's jump into the kind of meat and potatoes of the volunteer spotlight here. I'd like to first start by asking, what in the very, very first place, you know, got you started just volunteering in your community in general?
Oh, that was very long ago. I first became involved as a volunteer in my community when I was a child through my parents, because they had a huge passion for volunteering. My father in particular inspired me in this path and showed me that volunteering, it's an opportunity to connect with other people in the world.
It really is. What was like the very first thing you did as a kid, volunteer-wise?
We would help serve food to the homeless.
That's
which
awesome.
Was a nice family volunteering project. And there's just so many things.
There's so many things you can do
along the way. We always had foster children in our home, and they were just such an incredible example. And I passed the volunteering gene, I guess you call it, on to my husband and our children, and we volunteered as a family with our daughters since they were little, and they're now about 30 and 31.
So right on.
It's been a while.
So, like, besides AfterSight currently, what else are you doing volunteer-wise, if you don't mind me asking?
My dog is a therapy dog at the hospital in Boulder and Savannah, as well as libraries and nursing homes and schools, which is kind of fun.
That's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, it Absolutely. Is. Pretty special to see how he can connect with people and know who needs him the most, especially the staff not just patients, but the staff is at least 50% of why he's there.
Yeah, because you're developing a relationship with these people. You know, you're connecting. And I really think volunteering in itself is an art, really, as it is. But, well,
absolutely. Yes.
How did you actually first hear about and kind of get involved with AfterSight?
Oh, well, I learned about AfterSight from a friend at Guide Dogs from the Blind. I'm not sure if you've heard of that.
Yeah, Guide Dogs for the Blind is pretty, they're pretty big, they're pretty big wig in the blind community.
Yes. They do an incredible job.
They sure do.
I have volunteered with them, and actually my family has volunteered to train guide dogs and service dogs for about 25 years now. And a guide dog recipient shared AfterSight with me, and I thought, wow. Just such a great opportunity to help spread the word.
Absolutely. Yeah, and just kind of get more involved with that side of the community too as a whole.
Yes.
What was it like first, you know, getting started here? You know, you got there's a whole audition process and all that.
Well, the AfterSight community is so welcoming, and I just felt right at home immediately. And of course, they taught me that imperfect is actually perfect and authentic.
That's something I'm still figuring out.
Oh, so I think it's just, you know, it's meaningful when you can be authentic.
Absolutely. Well, so did you first start reading the Pikes Peak Courier? Like, was that the first show you began with, or?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, I learned a lot about the Pikes Peak region, and that's pretty interesting.
That's awesome. And you're actually, not a lot of volunteers can say this, but it sounds like you're among the few that kind of, they grabbed a paper and just stuck with it. Typically, you know, as a volunteer, you jump from paper to paper to paper.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, scheduling conflicts come up, and publications can change their frequency of publishing, of course, and stuff like that. So.
Ah, well, I enjoy reading the same paper just because I have learned how the towns have evolved, and it's an interesting paper.
Absolutely. How did you feel, honestly, like the very first time, though, you sat down to record?
Oh, gosh. Yes. preparing was very interesting, because you need to set yourself up for success by finding a very quiet place and a glass of water, some chapstick, and making sure your voice is warmed up. And it was definitely a lot to sort out at the beginning. But
right. Would you say it's like one of those things where you, I'm sure it is, but where you just, repetition is key. And like the more times you do it, the more eventually you just kind of get into that workflow now.
Absolutely.
Like,
yes. That's so true.
Now, were there any like soft skills or just like really good little tricks that you picked up during your time, you know, just kind of getting used to the flow of everything?
Well, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the, I think it's an app called CRISP, K-R-I-S-P.
Yeah, CRISP is pretty cool. Audio tool.
Yes, it blocks out the background noise. So if I'm recording at home or traveling and there's background noise, it will block that out. So that to me is one of the most valuable tricks and tips that I have found.
Absolutely. Is it free, or is there like a cost behind it?
It is free for, I believe, an hour a day. And if you want longer time period, then there is a paid subscription, but I think an hour a day is plenty for most people, unless you're using it for work.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you're an Aftersight volunteer, that's your hourly show right there, pretty much.
It's perfect.
Absolutely. Well, now that we're kind of on that subject, would you actually mind kind of just describing for us audio geeks out there your recording setup? I know you got a Mac.
Yes, I do. And I use GarageBand.
Nice. And then just the mic built into the Mac itself, or?
The Crisp has a mic.
Oh, it does. Interesting.
That's built in, or that uses your Mac mic.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it actually just treats it as a separate audio device.
Mm.
That's brilliant. Yep. And then it just uses the mic built into your Mac. Wow, they're teaching me stuff. I'm gonna have to check that out, because I know you reached out to us a couple of years ago asking if you could use it, and then, you know, we were impressed by the quality. That's really cool how that works, though. So basically, nice and simple, you know, just a MacBook and Crisp and GarageBand, and you're good to go, sounds like.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. Well,
and, of course, a glass of water and...
Chapstick. I wouldn't have even thought about chapstick.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I love it.
No, I think water is key. Jonathan, our podcast producer, and I were talking, you know, a couple of months ago, actually, about using something like lemon and honey, actually combined, to kind of warm up your throat and get like all the scratchy stuff, you know, kind of straightened out.
Yes, I like that. I'll try that next time.
Absolutely. What was like your? I might have already asked this kind of more in a different way before, but like just in general, you know, being a volunteer reader, what was like the hardest thing to overcome?
Well, that's a good question. I have to think about that.
Absolutely.
I guess primarily making mistakes and knowing that it's okay.
Absolutely. Actually, I think, honestly, I'm glad you said that, because I do think that is one of the hardest things for anybody to pick up, because especially if you're reading and you know you flubbed something up and you don't want to just be like – you don't want to react to it, because it'll take away from the show, so you kind of have to like – do what I've heard it called self-editing before. So okay. I've already done it a couple times in this episode. You know, I'll say something and then it'll not come out the way I wanted it to. So just kind of backtrack. But absolutely.
Well, and another thing that I just thought of is names of places, names of people. Sometimes they can get pretty tricky, and I feel that it's very important to pronounce them correctly.
Yeah, like a pronunciation kind of guide or something like that.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, that's pretty cool. And how have you felt like volunteering with us and, you know, reading the Pikes Peak Career, like what impact has that had personally just on you and, you know, on people around you?
Well, I have some friends and some family members who have low or no vision, and I know how much they appreciate audio programs and how much it's changed their lives. So for me, it brings me great joy to know that through volunteering on Aftersight, and it permits people to understand their place in the world and feel included, which I feel brings them, or really us all, peace and a sense of accomplishment when you can be connected.
And I think I don't think there's enough like emphasis behind those words, because it's literally just the concept of bringing people out of isolation and literally bringing them together, pretty much as it is.
Oh yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Well, earlier, we had kind of, you know, talked briefly about how you and particularly you and your family have been involved with Guide Dogs for the Blind. And Yeah, so I'd like to kind of talk about that. Like, how did you guys, get started actually volunteer or not volunteer, working with guide dogs and raising them, and kind of what has that whole experience been like? Because it's a really unique volunteer position, I suppose. We'll call it that.
We saw, or when our children were little, we saw someone else with a guide dog puppy, and we thought, wow, that's a really nice way to volunteer as a family. You can do it every day, and you can enjoy a little puppy together. And it does take a team to raise a puppy, of course.
Oh,
And
yes, it
then
does.
it helps someone in the future. We at one point raised a dog for seizure alert. And when that dog graduated and was with his new owner, it changed that person's life because the person,
They'll now
let's
have a
call,
heads up, like an
made
early
them.
seizure warning.
Right, exactly. So she used to have to wear a helmet. She couldn't go anywhere by herself, and she would fall and hurt herself all the time because of the seizures.
Goodness.
But when she got the dog, she was able to live a normal life. She got married, had a child, and traveled the world.
That's
And
incredible.
it really is
Like,
incredible what dogs can do, whether it's helping to guide someone or someone who is in a wheelchair or is seizure prone. It's just fabulous.
diabetic or any of that stuff. I mean, I always say dogs make the world go round. Like, I mean, we're on it, but dogs really are. I think if the world were run by dogs, I don't know, it'd be interesting.
And they love it. They love that work. They have plenty of time off at home
They
and with
do.
their other doggy friends. But when they are out in the world, they do love what they're doing.
Like, they want to have a purpose. They don't just want to be pets, they want. I've seen so many happy dogs, like police dogs or guide dogs, when they realize that they have completed their task, that task was successful, and that, yeah, they're just ear to ear, and as well as a dog possibly can, doing grinning ear to ear. I don't know what else to call it, but
It's adorable.
it sure is. And just to, keep the adorable train kind of going here, I just need to ask, what's your favorite kind of dog?
Oh gosh, that's not fair.
It's not, isn't it? I don't have a favorite either.
I
They're
don't.
just cute.
Yes. I love them all.
I grew up with shepherd, German shepherds, so I mean, I guess if I had to pick one, that would be.
They're very smart dogs.
They are a lot of them are used as guide dogs, and I love the look of their, I love their build. I think they're beautiful dogs, and
Yes.
very loyal. Well, goodness, I could talk about, as you guys can tell, I could talk about dogs for weeks. So
Me too.
that's awesome, though. I love it. Well, now before we wrap up this episode, we have hit the point where you can ask me or the entirety of AfterSight any question you can think of.
Okay. Well, I do have a question for you.
Okay.
Where is your favorite place to go, or one of your favorite places to go in Colorado, and tips to have fun there?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a real good one. Honestly, I'd say my favorite, absolute favorite place right now to go would be Glenwood Springs.
Are you serious?
I am dead serious. Like, I'm so serious, I don't even realize how serious I'm being right now.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
What do you like
Glenwood,
there?
the hot springs. Not the old one, like the Iron Mountain one, actually.
Oh, wow.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, unique.
Got to go there with a buddy a couple of years ago, and trying out all the different pools was just fun. So, like, as far as my tips to have fun up in Glenwood, Good Lord. Check out the hot springs. Like, if you don't check out the hot springs, you are genuinely missing out. Like, that's kind of in my, that's my opinion. That's like one of the big reasons I go to Glenwood. And really, like, yes, relax, but seriously, just try and get out and explore. And it's one of the best. That, I think the next, like, second best would probably be Estes Park, but.
Yes.
But
it's
yeah.
Been a while. Since I've been there.
Glenwood's my favorite. Well, right back at you then. What is your favorite place to of all time to go in Colorado? And yeah, what would you recommend?
I love the Red Rocks Amphitheater in Morrison, Colorado. You can hike there during the day or go listen to live music at night. It's just refreshing to be amongst that scenery and the rocks that are there, just even to touch them is magical.
It is. I mean, and the acoustics there, I've heard, are unbeatable. So certainly.
Yes.
Well, before we wrap up this episode, is there anything you'd like our audience to, you know, walk away with, like a word of wisdom, or, and be as cheesy as you want to, because we love the cheesiness here.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Cheesy. Okay.
Yeah.
I would just encourage you to volunteer and get out in your community to connect with people, learn something new, and make the world a better place.
Absolutely. Literally just initiate. Just look at a volunteer page on your favorite organization's website or whatever it might be.
Absolutely. Yes. I feel that volunteering is deeply connected to wellness because of the skills we learn and the sense of community.
It really is. It's a beautiful thing.
Makes your life richer.
It makes you, yeah, it does. It's enriching for you. It's an, and it really is enriching for other people. And, you know, it changes lives. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, Sophia, I'd like to personally thank you for joining me under the volunteer spotlight today. It was, you know, I'm glad we were able to get you on today.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And I'd, of course, love to thank all of our listeners for coming back month after month for the Volunteer Spotlight. I really hope you guys have enjoyed listening to the show. I sure have enjoyed making it. It's one of my favorite things to do at AfterSight. But yeah, I really hope you guys enjoyed this particular special episode. There might be more kind of special episodes like this just from time to time. You know, typically we like to pop these out every month, but you know, we have like events and stuff where I'll do like little interviews. So who knows? You don't really know what's coming down the pipe when it comes to Volunteer Spotlight here. But in any event, if you happen to have any questions, comments, feedback for AfterSight or any of our podcast hosts, feel free to give us a call at 720-712-8856 and leave your feedback that way. Or, of course, shoot an email to feedback@aftersight.org. And with that being said, I'd like to thank you for joining us for this special episode of the Volunteer Spotlight. I'm your host, Evan Starnes, and I'll see you all next month.